That's what I told you. You have to go through all the. You got to go through. Go through Kafir Aaron Chelik Dalit, 120 pages, and you'll have your answer. But we'll leave this for tomorrow. I don't want to get involved now. All right, we have another half minute. Scotty, I thank you for those sources. Reb Moshe, I'm going to deal with it in a few minutes.
Sure. I thank Rebbe for the recommendation for Malchiel Chomata.
Oh, the bells.
I got through the first one, but it was very moving. It's kind of informational.
It's very well done. Very, very well done. Very well done. All right, that's too bad he's not here. Okay, and Ellie, Effie, where do we stand? Are we
Since there's a... It could be that there's a Shiva meeting.
A what meeting?
A Shiva meeting.
Who's sitting Shiva?
I think one of the Torah Shraga Rabbim is sitting Shiva for a child.
Who?
Rabbi Berman, maybe?
Rabbi Berman, I read that.
You read a two-year-old son.
How? I got also bad news, a Talmud of mine, a very close Talmud from many decades. His grandson, a crib death, 3 months old in Toronto, Shluchim of Chabad. A crib death. Who is it? Lieberman. Arya Lieberman's son. Chani and Arya Lieberman's son. A crib death, there's no solution. It's amazing. All right, let's begin. Ready to roll. Today is Sunday, February 16th, 2020, and I say hello to the students in front of me and to the many around the world. And everyone told me Shabbos. I was quoted in Ami magazine, like it's a big yichus. I don't know if it's a yichus or not, but all right. And according to what they told me, I was quoted correctly. They quoted what I said about Alan Dershowitz, that what he testified before the Senate in the trial, the impeachment trial, I said, you see his yeshiva training. I said, we're lucky he didn't say Mored b'malchut chayav mita. And boy, I hit the nail on the head there, because the New York Times went crazy with what he did say. Had he gone a little further, I think they would have written Judaism out of the world. Hashem Yerachem, the Jews would have written Torah out of the world. All right.
Are you surprised what the New York Times says?
No, I understand what you're saying.
Big anti-Semitic left.
Saida, leave it for another time. Let's get started here. All right, I want to follow up and finish out what we spoke about. We were dealing with the whole question of the recording machine. And Ein Hachinami, a business has to run normally. I think Rav Menashe Klein is absolutely right. But if you leave a recording for Shabbos, and on the machine you can say it's the Holy Sabbath, I'm not here, and believe me, if a Jew calls, he's getting a message. And if you recall, that's how I ended off the shiur tying in Yosef Mizrahi, which is not an easy thing to do, but he did tell that story with the David Letterman. Am I pronouncing it right now? L-E-D-E-R.
Letterman,
that David Letterman interviews this guy, and he says, oh, where are you coming from? He says, I was just in Israel. Oh, say something in Hebrew. And he says, Shabbat Shalom, and the poor Mechallel Shabbos listening is all shaken up, and he decides to go back and become a Baal Shiva. Anyway, excuse me? He was a Reish, you know, Baruch Hashem. The story is, it ties right in with what Reb Menashe Klein advises him. And now, I want to make one correction of something I said and give you the real details. If you recall, we were dealing with a problem we raised about the noise of the computer. And the whole Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Zayin, it's three lines in the Gemara, putting in wheat to be ground before Shabbos, and it continues on Shabbos. But that Gemara, those three lines, really affect many questions that we have to ask. What is Zivuta the Shabbos, taking Shabbos lightly, not honoring it? So if you recall, I spoke about dishwashers, and I was looking for the paper with all the details, and of course it was covered up by other papers. I never found it, and I said something to Liachaya, there's a problem with the door, and you have to close it in advance, so it's a grumma. I actually said, I think grumma, the grumma, I read something, I was all wrong. Grumma only applies for the army and for someone who's not healthy. A person who's well, he can't kvetch a heter with grumma. Yesterday I was walking through the Bustan connecting Rav Berlin with Palmach, and I saw one of these motorcycles, and I saw in back of it B'Pikud Shabbat. And it's fascinating to see, and fascinating, I know someone who uses it, you know who, Ruby Carson, and she told me about some of the difficulties, everything is grumma, and when you want to stop, according to what Ruby told me, it doesn't stop right away. You have to plan to stop in advance because there's not an instantaneous reaction. So that's good for someone who needs it, but someone healthy cannot resort to grumma. So what do we, and I want to thank my dear Talmud, Rabbi Yoshua Grunstein, who corrected me, and he sent me the details, and that's what I was looking for a week ago, and here are the details, and it's very interesting, because my memory was almost entirely correct. Here's what they came up with in Selmet. The dishwasher, timer, must go on without you putting it on Shabbos. That's Pashut. Don't you have to have an automatic timer, setting it for a certain time? This is what I messed up. You must override the door. The door of a dishwasher has a safety feature that if a door is open, the dishwasher won't go on. Thus, even if you set it to go on at 3 a.m. Shabbos morning, when you close the door hours before, you are unable to go on by grumma, which is mentioned is usher for a healthy person. Thus, a Tzomet electrician or any electrician overrides the door, so even that if you leave it open, it will go on. And thus, closing it doesn't make any difference. So that's the key thing you have to have. I know when I put in, we redid our kitchen about 10 years ago, and we put in new ovens, Milchix, Fleischix, and the minute they came to put them in, the guy working there, an American guy working with an Israeli guy, neither of them were wearing kippot, but the guy says, oh, you have a kippah, you're Shomrei Shabbos, we have to, they killed something that when the clock finishes, it buzzes till you open the door and take it out. They killed that buzz, because otherwise you can't open it on Shabbos, you're going to turn off the buzz. So I see exactly what they're saying. You have to have an expert who knows the dishwasher system and see to it that it will go on. And that means even if you don't close the door, it will go on. So you follow? It's very important to close the door, otherwise you'll have a flood in your house. The soap must be in before Shabbat, mishum bishul hasabon, because ultimately the soap is boiled, you're not allowed to add it on Shabbat. It must go on very late at night, mishum hashmad kol. And that's the Gemara we spoke about. What does that mean, hashmad kol? How do you measure it? All right. The dishes are put in for use on Shabbat, mishum hachana mikodesh lechol. That, as we said last week, you could wash the dishes Friday night if you're going to use them again Shabbos morning. But if you're going to put them in after the Shabbos morning meal, you can't wash them. And that's what I mentioned. The Rav, I showed you in Shmiras Chatzkei Hilchot. I remember when Mori Rebbe, this is, goes back to the mid-50s, and Jews, wealthy Jews, were getting dishwashers then. I mean, life has changed. I'm one of the few people that all my friends have dishwashers. I don't have any dishwashers. You don't have, Steve. All right. But they look at me. You don't have a dishwasher? Yeah, I understand. You're 10 fingers. So, the Rav Paskin, if your place for dishes after you use them is to put it into the dishwasher, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. That's like putting it back in the closet. That's where they belong until after Shabbos when you wash them. So Rav Shmuel Shapiro Paskin's that way. Finally, Rabbi Rosen, Zichrono Levracha, who is the head of Tzomer, as I told you, I taught with him, Rabbi Rosen said that with this ability to use a dishwasher, it may be a chovah to use it. It adds to your own egg Shabbat. New Isaac, do you understand that? Very simple. Look into the book, The Rav, written by the way, I was quoted in the new volume, Chelik Bet, on the Briska Rav from the Haredi world, and they don't mention my name. God, if you're quoting, do it properly. It's Genuvati Yom, Genuvati Laila. They say the Rav in English, a footnote, volume whatever, volume 1, volume 2, with the exact pages. They're quoting, you follow me, Elliot? Mention my name, quote me properly. Rebunish Shalom, call all my daughter B'Shem Orem, Evigula Liolam. Let me enjoy life and be able to show that even a Haredi publication that has about 10% truth in it, beyond words,
what the
Briska Rav, Volume 2. Reb Chaim, it's Reb Chaim Briska. So what does it mean? If you open up the Rav by Rakefet, you'll see that the Boston Rebbetzin said she owes her life to my Rebbe's Rebbetzin, Dr. Tanya Soloveitchik. And what was the story? That this couple that became from very brilliant people getting PhDs from, you know, this was the Boston, New England, Harvard, Yale, Radcliffe, all that goes with it, the MIT, the best hospitals. I'm happy to see the alarm clock is working. I am overjoyed. I have material I want to discuss right after class. You'll see some of the things you gave me and a thing I have for you. Gentlemen, this couple was invited to the Rav's home for lunch. So after Shabbos or Sunday, the Boston Rebbe asked the couple, what was it like being at the Soloveitchik's for Shabbos? And he's describing the Torah, the meal, and they used plastic dishes, paper dishes, paper plates. So she called Rebbetzin Tanya, and asked her, and Rebbetzin Tanya explained that after Shabbos she goes to hear her husband Shia at Maimonides, and she just will not have the time and doesn't want to be stressed washing dishes. And the Boston Rebbetzin writes in her memoir, I quote it, it's all there, she writes in her memoir that it saved her life, because they would have 30, 40 people Shabbos, she would then buy up plastic dishes or paper dishes, whatever they had at that time, by the cartons, like they buy here for Torah Shraga. If you walk near the offices, you'll see all the paper stuff piled up, hundreds, tens of thousands, and she never had to wash a dish again. So this is what he means. You see, it could be if Jack said to Etty, let's have paper plates, why do you need all this work? We're not so young. Etty will smack his face and say, what, Kedushat Shabbos, beautiful, how Zilzilutah the Shabbos. So now you have you've washed it, and that's what he means. It adds to your Oneg Shabbat. Could you imagine? Okay, now my memory was correct. In a kibbutz, and he writes, when I was a student, this is Yehoshua Grinstein, I trust you know Rabbi Grinstein, he's a second-generation student. His father, Zichrono Levracha, was in BMT in your time. Do you remember him? It was either a year before or a year after. No, it couldn't be a year before. It may have been a year after you, 1 year after. He died last year. It was Maspachim. All right, so he writes, my student in Har Etzion, They did not wash dishes. The Friday night did not wash dishes for Shabbos morning, and on Shabbos afternoon they did wash dishes for Shabbos afternoon, but not after the Shabbos afternoon meal. And there, it's a dishwasher, and it's an industrial kitchen dishwasher. It doesn't have a door. But rather it is open on both sides, similar to a car wash. That's what I remember. Very big, and it's like a factory belt. You put it on the belt on one end, and it goes by itself through the open dishwasher, coming out clean on the other side. Of course, it's set before Shabbos and goes on, even if you don't use it, it will go on. And it's like anything else, like this Shabbos, I left the last two Shabbat, we had three Shabbatot in a row that were raining, were terrible, so I left the lights on all Shabbat, not to go off in the middle of the day. And this Shabbat, automatically, I left it on. Who needed it? We had our daughters, and there was beautiful weather. But automatically, when you leave it, it goes on. All right, so that's... and then he says about the kibbutzim. He says when in the kibbutzim, where they wash dishes on Shabbos, it's exactly the same system as Har Etzion, as the yeshiva. And it's exactly what I remember. However, in kibbutz Steli Yochu, they do as we did in Yeshiva Har Etzion. Okay. Then I just want to call up one other matter. And I really was shocked. And I mentioned this. Someone asked me some shilas and Shabbos before Mincha. I was davening at my son-in-law's shul. And we spoke about this and a YU graduate of many years ago pops up and he says, how could Reb Moshe hold like that? I thought he was a Mekil. So I felt like telling him, you should come back and study with Rakefet, go back to the tapes, take off 7 years. That's like the biggest mistake in the world. And here in Israel, it's quite the, I'm Beit Hillel. You're Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel weren't Mekil all the time. At times they were Machmir. In other words, it's an open mission in Ediyot that Rav Yossi Hasharya, the Mishnah, criticizes Reb Yossi that he was Mekil too many times. You're familiar with the Mishnah Ediyot? Go through Ediyot. It's a very interesting Mishnayot Ediyot because it's testimony of what was. So you see, a posek, you have to decide what you want to decide. It's not good to be Machmir all the time. It's not good to be Mekil all the time. There are only two areas where there's an obligation to try to be Mekil. That's Heter Aguna and Heter Mamzera. You follow me? There's everyone who knows how to learn, everyone who's a posek. So there's a chiyuv to do whatever you can to be Mater and Aguna. If you heard my shirm many years ago, if you went through Rakafet Aaron Chelek Gimel, sitting down, you can't read Chelek Gimel sitting, running around or having the TV on or listening to some shir on the internet. You have to concentrate. Chelek Dalet, the first 120 pages, you have to concentrate. After that, you can jump around and throw it in the air and read it upside down. But be it as it may, Aguna, you have to... What does the Bach say? Kol hamatir Aguna rachat kilu bana churva biYerushalayim. It's like rebuilding Jerusalem, ad kedei kach. I know what it means. You permit a woman to remarry. She can have children. These children could be Gedolei Yisrael. They can be Olim, build Israel. No end to what they can do. Same thing with Mamzeret. If you heard my Sheyurim, you all know the Medrash that we cry because a Mamzer did nothing wrong. It's his parents who did something wrong, not the Mamzer. So there's a chiyuv. Other issues, as you understand. All right, I always have a vote that the Gedolei Yisrael, when they're machmir, they're always machmir in issues that no one listens to them anyway. I'll give you an example, Rav Avadji Yosef. Mi lana yotei gadol mi Rav Avadji Yosef. Isaac, did you know him? Did you ever speak to him? You're looking at someone that spoke to him in learning, that dealt with him in learning. I taught his daughter, etc. You have no idea. The man made a computer look like a fool. You follow? His knowledge went way beyond anything you can imagine. It was unreal. It was unreal. I mean, I knew Gedolei Yisrael, my Rebbe, Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Baron Lichtenstein, Reb Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, Reb Aaron Cutler, Reb Ovadia Yosef. What a mind. All right, Baruch Hashem. So where is he, Machmir Eliyahu? shetels, that women shouldn't wear shetels. That's where he was machmir. In his own family, he has daughters-in-law, granddaughters wearing shetels. You understand? He was Baruch Hashem. You understand? Oh, he's machmir. God can't fault him. He's not like Rabbi Yossi Ashaya. He was machmir. So I have to say, Scotty gave me sources because I knew Rav Moshe. First of all, the first five volumes of the Igra of Moshe I know fairly well backwards and forwards because those were the real volumes that came out from Rav Moshe. The other four volumes, I don't know that well. And these are from later volumes. But what we said, Rav Moshe is machmir on the time clock, we didn't even say it accurately. And look in, and I'll show you my problem here. Look in Tigrat Moshe, the fourth time he deals with Orachayim, published in 1982, Siman Samach. And he's writing, it's Chivas from 1977, he's writing to his grandson, Mordechai Tendler. All right, this is Reb Moshe David's son, Mordechai Tendler. Yeah, he again, in life, it always works. It never works out evenly. In other words, you can have five children. One or two will wind up taking care of the aged parents. The way life works. It's not that people are bad or evil. It's just, for instance, when my in-laws died, it was my wife who went back and forth to America. She has a younger sister. A younger sister was busy with children. She has a brother here. He was busy at work. My wife, the burden fell almost totally on my wife. And that's the way life works out. Reb Mordechai Tendler was, of all the grandchildren, he was the one that totally devoted himself to his grandfather. He took care, he helped, he wrote, he edited, he guarded the door who wants to come in. And he asked his grandfather about the time clock. And I couldn't believe how extreme Reb Moshe is. I'm quoting, Hini la nivet daiti pashut she'asur lahatirza. In parentheses, factories. It is clear to me. Gentlemen, you have just heard a paragraph, and before I interpret it and deal with it, I want to ask a different question. A different question. Ellie, you grew up in Teaneck?
Yes.
All right. You went into a shop right near you. What do you have? Big supermarkets. You went in and they're having a sale on Gallo Brothers wine. Two bottles for $1.50. Can you buy that wine? Yes or no? No, don't look. What are you, a shakitz, a neuslaf, a trumpetik, a pushtak? Of course not. Can't buy it. It's not so simple. Even to buy it, to give it a gift to a guy. But all right, maybe Michael's right. That is a Zevite Gateman. So far, that one. But you can't buy that wine. All right. You have family, wonderful wife, children. Your wife says to you, Ellie, it's time you made a living. You go into business, very successful, and you're dealing with very important people, not all of them Jewish, big important business people, and you just signed a contract, a multi-million dollar deal, and the Gentile who knows, he says, Ellie, I have here kosher cookies, and he breaks out a bottle of non-kosher wine. So what do you, a mezonot bracha you make, and the wine you don't drink. Right or wrong? Tell me, what if he breaks out a bottle of whiskey? What do you say? A bottle of whiskey. Scotch, single malt, the finest. You have a shot, he has a shot. You say, L'chaim, whatever he says, it's my life. Every guy, no, every intelligent Gentile, New York Times read his hand, L'chaim. It's an international word. Elliot, do you understand what I have just told you? Can you tie that in with Reb Moshe? I just told you something unbelievably important. Let's go back to the sugya in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Let's go back to all the scholarship of my revered classmate, Harav Hagon, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, known to you as the Grach, the greatest living expert, his masterpiece, Yeinam, wine. You can't drink the wine. Chazal made a gezeira. Why did they make the gezeira? Jack, I can guarantee you there's nothing non-kosher in wine. Lehefech, if you add something to wine, you can't win a gold medal. A gold medal has to be pure wine. And oh, what goes on with wine? What an industry. The state of Israel today, we boast how many medals. The Golan Heights, the hills around Hebron. Oh, the wine that comes out of it. Why can't you drink non-Jewish wine? Because maybe if you start drinking with them, you become friendly with them, you become friendly man, woman, before you know it, intermarriage. Right or wrong, that's the reason. L'hachik, to keep us separate. No? Elliot. Wine? Who drinks wine today? Scotch, rye, vermouth, liqueur. If we're going to follow logic, the worst thing in the world is shikrin metagoy. You're friendly, you go crazy, overwhelmed, right or wrong. Michael, what do we see from here? There is no one in the world, there's no posek in the world who will tell Vic, you can't drink with a guy. Vic was in a band, he plays the drums, he just finished, they gave a whole production. 99 non-Jews came over with liquor, l'chaim, beautiful, terrific, so skillful. Wine I can't drink? How can I drink whiskey? Logically speaking, if you asked wine, asked whiskey. No? Good question. But here there's a tremendous answer, which I'll say very briefly. I spoke about it for weeks, many years ago. You can look it up in the Talmudic Encyclopedia under the rubric Gezeira. Masha Gazru, Gazru. Masha Lo Gazru, Lo Gazru. Anan Lo Gazrin. And what is this all about? Look, 90% of the Yiddishkeit we live is rabbinic. It's not Torah, not Torah law. Take Shabbat. You don't turn on the furnace on Shabbat, you don't turn on light, don't make a fire, all right, that's Torah law. But let's talk about the rest of it. Muktzah. Torah law, rabbinic law. What do you say? Rabbinic law. Absolutely. Kiddush. There's no man in the world in this room who made Kiddush on a D'oraita level. Maybe a lady makes. Remember, when you daven, you're Yotzei. Zechor Shem Shavakat Shem. You daven Shabbos. Kadesh HaShabbat. Rabbinic law. Three meals. Kibud Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos. It's not a D'oraita. Divrei Kabbalah. All right, important. And you can go on and on. 100 bracha today. Rabbinic or Torah law? Davening, 3 different davenings a day. The whole question of tefillah whether it's the Oraita, the Rabban, Homachleikus, Maimonides and Achmanides. You go step by step by step. You see how we live, what we do. Steve, we have the attitude, I'm paraphrasing Rishonim now. Halavai, we should keep that which we have to. We have enough details. Tayag mitzvot, the whole Torah Shebal Peh, Torah law, rabbinic law, gezeira, takanot, minhagim. We don't add since the end of the Gaonic period. We don't add. And as logical as what I just said, logic doesn't work here. Eli is a tzaddik. He didn't drink wine because he knows you're not allowed. The minute they offered him some hard liquor, being a good wrestler Chabotnik, boy oh boy, within a half hour, he was dancing on the roof upside down with the nunju with whom he's doing business. And I came along and I was upset. I said, what is this rotten, vicious, malicious, heinous, hideous behavior? No, it's within allowed. All right, I have a moment to be happy. I just made $2 million. $200,000 will go to Tztaka. Have a right to dance and be happy. Wow. Do you start to understand what bothers me about Rav Moshe? These words, wow, so extreme that a time clock is like a mirror la'akam. And Rav Moshe says, I am positive, had there been time clocks at the time of Chazal before Yomo was born, they would have ushered the time clocks. Mashe gazru, gazru, mashe lo gazru, lo gazru. There were no time clocks then. How can you say? But Reb Moshe, adamant. He says it destroys the whole concept of Shabbos. Why is Amira l'akamasa? Because if you can tell a guy what to do, look, when I was growing up, there was a doctor called Shabbos Friedman on the Upper West Side. Lowell, I knew his son, I knew his grandson, all medical doctors. Never the grandson, Dr. Ira Friedman, was just killed maybe a year or two ago, and terrible, coming home Shabbos from shul. He was right or wrong, it was after Shabbos, run over. Tzadike Yisod Olam. This was a doctor who discovered his Bubava roots, and Shabbos, I couldn't believe it, but the Langa Bekesha, I think Estreimel as well, the works in Lawrence. And why was his grandfather called Shabbos Friedman? Because in the 1920s, to find the Shomer Shabbos doctor in New York City, in the United States, was like looking this morning, we'll go out and look for Yankee Doodles or some other American treat in the supermarket here. You're not going to find it. Dr. Friedman, Shabbos, had a guy in his house all Shabbos. In case there was an emergency, he had to go out, the doctor, the guy carried, there was no Erev then, his bag. The guy took him, had to go up elevators, the guy pressed the button. That was Dr. Friedman. All right, a doctor's allowed to have a non-Jew help him, Pikuach Nefesh. But if we permit Amira Lakam, you'll hire a guy to be with you all Shabbos, cook for me, do this for me, do that for me, open the television for me, turn off the television, make a call for it. It's no Shabbos. Rav Moshe says the same thing with automation. You'll have everything being done on Shabbos, including running a factory, which I'm not certain you can work out on time clocks alone, but in theory, there's something to it. And Rav Moshe absolutely opposed to the time clock. That's one reason. Wow. I would ask Rav Moshe my question with all due diffidence and humility. But Dov, you understand the difference here. Wow. I hit the nail on the head. Compare whiskey to wine, and compare a time clock to a nun shoe. They were not around then. Chazal were not geyser. I'm not doing anything. But Reb Moshe, absolutely adamant. And then he gives another reason. Aval yesh tam gadol asa mitam acha daha ziluta de Shabbos. And he says that lights going on, cooking on Shabbos, the blech going on, everything being done on Shabbos, this is a zilut of Shabbos in Reb Moshe's eyes. You're playing games with Shabbos. You're cheapening it. That would be perhaps the best English translation. Now, very interesting. At the end of the tshuva, he does differentiate between turning lights on and off. And here, Reb Moshe says, perhaps using a time clock to turn lights on and off, there one can be mekil. Why? Because there's an entire literature of asking goyim to turn lights on Shabbos. And I'll give you an example, and you can check Reb Moshe and take it back further. Sudah Shlishit. It's very dark. You want to sing, you want to fabring, you want to extend the Shabbos. Many achronim were matir. You can tell a guy to turn the lights on. More than that, Yom Kippur, Minig Yisrael, the old minig, everyone lit a ner neshamar on Yom Kippur. For your relatives, I know people, they have candles on top of candles, yahrzeit candles, blows out. There are achronim who permitted telling a guy to relight the candles on Yom Kippur, because people were so troubled if it blew out. They were superstitious. It's a siman ra. Let a guy relight it. So Rav Moshe says, could be, mimela, I'm quoting Rav Moshe, leka ziluta de Shabbat bezeh. Could be when it comes to just using the time clock for lights going on and off, could be that is permissible, because even asking a guy, many will lenient. For instance, I can give you another example. You didn't leave the lights on Shabbos, and it's a very cloudy, dark day, and you want to sing Zmirut, you want to be able to read, you don't want to sit in the darkness, you want to enjoy your food. Could be that there would be many achronim who would be matir, turning, asking a guy to turn the lights on. And therefore, Reb Moshe says, since a guy could do it, a machine can do it, a clock can do it. Aval hava de lo lo sifala, but you can't add to this, lahatir gam libishu, umalachat acherot, v'yesh le'asar. It is forbidden. Sekencha, your grandfather, Ohavacha, who loves you, believe the nefesh, Moshe Feinstein.
What's the Bishul issue? Bishul issue in terms of...
What you do, you don't do in your house? You have a time clock on the blech?
Sure.
All my daughters have, of course. That's
no,
the issue.
Not
well, why is it not Bishul?
Not doing it, it's already fully cooked.
It can also be ain't bishulach a bishul. You can even warm it to yad soledet if it's a salad. It's not a problem. But Reb Moshe would be machmir. And I want to tell you, watch, hold on.
I mean, was he concerned about television?
I don't know in his people. I don't think so. But he was concerned about lights, the blech, things like that. Could be television too, I don't know.
But wouldn't he think about finances?
What do you mean finances?
Keeping the light on 25 hours is a lot of money.
I can quote Rabbi Shechter, I quoted him, last week. He already said that it didn't cost that much electricity. Today you have LED here. I have a letter from, I quoted it last week, from David Newman. My Talmud, the electrician, the Hasidic electrician from Cleveland, as for time clocks today for lighting, it is not worth it, as the cost of operating LED lights is pennies. So even today, Reb Moshe would object to leaving a time clock. Leave it on 25 hours. All right, he was not concerned with finances. Evidently, that was a smaller matter.
In terms of financing, the big issue with time clocks is putting the gas on, the heat.
Yeah, well, what are you referring to? That saves money with heating. So there, Reb Moshe could be makil, because you tell me, if you're cold on Shabbos, it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. You're allowed to tell a guy to turn the furnace on.
Right.
Why?
Because
we're all sick if we don't have heat.
We put our gas system on from up until 10:30, 11 o'clock when we go to sleep.
Right.
Turn it off.
Reb Moshe, I think there Reb Moshe would not asa. I don't think this existed at that time, but Reb Moshe would not asa. He's even matir air conditioning with telling a guy, let's say it suddenly gets warm.
So Shabbos Chag's okay with air conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. He would not, because you can tell a guy. Ellie, what did you want to ask?
Yeah, so we did this tshuva in Nuremberg this year, and I went to Moshe Tendler.
Right, Reb Moshe David.
Moshe David. And I asked him if he thinks that in 2018, would Reb Moshe still think that it's used for the Shabbos because everybody's doing it?
Right.
It's not like
the real right. I'll show you in a second. Right.
He thought that still he would still
ask. Right. So we have it here. I'm going to give you the source. In a further volume, Igrot Moshe Orachayim Chelik Hamishi, published posthumously 1996. Take a look on page Ayin Chet, and you won't believe this. Evidently, it was so widespread that people used time clocks. So Reb Moshe gets the question that this person is invited to a home on Shabbos where they heat up the food with a time clock, and he wants to know if he can eat there. And Reb Moshe asks, "Shevavadai etzli she'ein laha tirza, ein laha kel, af kisha chuzmenu lishbot shabbat etzlachad shemekir b'zra'at kedei kach." Imagine you're invited to someone's house. So much has been written, for instance, on the Shemitah year in Israel. We'll soon have a Shemitah year. Believe me, if you're going to go on sabbatical to teach Torah and Chutz Laaretz, get away for the Shemitah year. You'll be healthier. But Reb Shlomo Zalman Paskin, that if you're invited to the home of someone who's someich on the Chet Mechira, you can eat there. You shouldn't embarrass him. And there were many poskim like that, because yesh v'yesh, it's a very big machloket. But you got to remember, among the Mekilim is Reb Yitzchok Chanan Spector, Reb Shmuel Malava, Reb Yoshua Trunk, Gedolei Gedolei Yisrael. Of course, among the Machmirim, the Netziv of Velashin, Reb Yosef Dover, the Beit HaLevi, etc. It's a heavyweight machloket. But yesh panim lekan v'panim lekan. And here Reb Moshe tells him he can't eat there. And Reb Moshe spells it out, V'rapa hadlakot v'kibui ha-neirot t'chashmal she'nahaguam lahatir ein limchot. V'ulai af mutar lachatchila, because you can tell a guy to do it. V'ein l'meleif mizeh l'shar devarim. Reb Moshe absolutely asks learning from this issue to other issues. And here you see a tremendous chumrah. And like Ellie says, I don't know many people who follow this chumrah of Reb Moshe. Today in Eretz Yisrael, wherever I go, all the blechs work on time clocks. To me, it's something new. In my youth, I never saw it. We had blechs, we're on. Then some at the bone. Yeah, it was a different story altogether. And today, wherever you go, everyone is using a time clock, not just on lights, but on blech. The whole question with the television we spoke about last week, there the zilut of the Shabbos, at least as far as I understand it. But if it's a Baal Tshuva, I wouldn't smack his face. You have to know what stage he's at. In other words, you take a kid who grew up in baseball. I told you that in BMT, we once had a kid from a wealthy Midwestern home, a frum family, had a big business. And in the business on Shabbos, they recorded the football game of the week, and Sunday morning, they had all types of equipment. These were not poor people. They made like 25 copies. And at the Minyan, they gave it out to all the members of the family. The game of the week, recorded a family. All right, what they did is wonderful. I can't say boo. But what if you have a kid who now became Shomer Shabbos, but he says, Rebbe, I watched the Yankees. It's on a time clock. On a time clock. I wouldn't say anything. Give him a chance. Maybe a half year later, you say, you know, really, this isn't a total commemoration of the spirit of Shabbos, Zilut of the Shabbos, all right, maybe leave a time clock on to record the game, not for you to watch it.
It's much more complicated because of the switches. The old switches were simple on-off switches.
Right, I understand.
These are reverse polarity switches, which are much more complicated.
I understand. All right, anyway.
And he's saying you should leave the food on heated black all Shabbos?
Yeah, what we did all the time, we used to move it to the other part of the blech that wasn't that hot, as long as it still stayed warm, and then you moved it back to heat up a little bit more before you go and teach. You don't remember? That was what we did in all our homes. You had a blech with one fire on, one burner on, I should say, and you moved it around on Shabbos, but before Shabbos you had the chalent on there, you had the hot water on there, the kugel on there. If you wanted to add something on Shabbos, you have to put it on top. It would be kli al gabi kli, only something cooked, only something solid, liquid you couldn't do it with.
A blech that's not on the Shabbos clock.
Right.
That's on from the beginning of Shabbos.
Right.
Does the food have to be on from the beginning of Shabbos too?
That's a whole machloket. I can tell you, basically, yes. People in where I came from, everyone had the food on before Shabbos.
For lunch?
Before candle lighting. The blech was set, one of the things you had to do. I think the Rav had a cooler if it was solid and you took it. I don't remember exactly. If there's someone from Boston, the Rav was a little bit more makil than others when it was ain't bishulacham bishul, when it's solid, that you could put it into the frigidaire and take it out and put it back on the blech again. But you have to ask someone from Boston. I don't recall all the details. Look at the Shmei Tzavti Echilchata. I see what he has to say.
I mean, how do you hold it?
I never have a problem. I eat it, my daughter, and I'm somach on the blech with the automatic light, whatever the automatic box, clock, whatever, the timer. That's what we call it, the timer. Rav Moshe calls it the automation, but we call it a timer, right? The automatic timer. No, the food is not on. It doesn't have to be on. But they put on the food before the timer goes on. I think that's what the rub, I forget what it was. But that's what I know people do. But I know as a kid, we all had on the blech. What did you do in your house, Steve? Do you remember 60 years ago? I remember where everything was.
I do it now. I mean, but you have to put something between, if you take it out of the refrigerator.
Right, you have to put something
and
underneath
now,
it. Thing. A kli al gabi kli. Right.
I saw my friends,
I was at
someone's house last Shabbos, you know the robbers.
Right.
They got someone gave them a gift. There's now a silicone thing that heats up. You could put it right on the plata.
Right, because it's not it's, directly. It's a kli al gabi kli built
right,
in.
But it keeps the heat. I don't know if she explained it to me how it works.
And now there's something made in England.
Unbelievable. Parts of it heat up more than other
parts. Right. You have to remember, there's something made in England, a tray, it's a cart that you wheel back and forth. And
it's like a piece of silicone.
Yeah, I saw that in Borough Park. I saw that advertised. But I'm not Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. When you get older, you eat less, and the challenge becomes your enemy, not your friend. Mm-hmm. We'll put it that way. Okay. But all right, now let's go a step further. And I have to tell you in advance, I'm picking up now two tshuvot dealing with medicine, medical problems. The first tshuva is fascinating, but it's not earth-shaking. And it shows the insight of Rav Menashe Klein. You got to give this man credit, who totally adjusted, saved from Hitler by miracles, winds up a refugee in France to Borough Park to Israel. And you got to give him credit. The man not only mastered English, but understood the modern world, understood medicine.
Yesterday, Dr. Gilman Brockles discussed medicine, the whole circuit of medicine.
All right. Chazal had many medical doctors, and among the Rishonim, the most famous Rishonim, were medical doctors. We don't have to go further than Maimonides, who, until today, you have the big hospital in Borough Park. What is it called? Maimonides, and their reasons why.
My son's
okay, so you know what I'm talking about. The tshuva that comes beyond this is basically earth-shaking and leads us right into problems that tens of thousands of young people have every Shabbos. And because of those young people, we can sit here and Scotty can learn Torah, and I'm referring to Tzva Hagana Yisrael. And we'll go shlav shlav. I have Rabbi Aaron Cutler here, and I have the Rav here. But first, let's begin at the beginning. So I'm now quoting from Mishnah Halachot, volume Tetvav, Siman Kuf Tav Zayin. It's page 132. Tetvav, Siman Kuf Tav Zayin, page 132. And this deals with the whole question of medicine. Now, all of you know there's a gezeirah of the Chachamim, Sichakat Samamanim. And what does it mean? You have to be my age to understand this halacha l'maaseh. I still remember in growing up, first of all, the pharmacy was generally the only place on your block where there was a phone. If you had to get messages, they would come into the pharmacy and if you were a good customer, he'd send a kid to tell you, you just got a call, you just got this message. In the pharmacy, when you came in for medicine, many times you had to come back a few hours later. Dove, do you know why? They had to make the medicine. Now, I remember this as a kid. I don't believe I saw this in America in the 50s already, into the 60s. You can correct me if I'm wrong. When I came in Aliyah, I saw it again here. You got to remember, Israel 51 years ago was far from the level of civilization it is today. There was a marked difference between the Western world to what you had in Israel. Today, I think Israel, I don't know if it's overtaken America, but there's certainly no tangible difference. You go into a pharmacy, everything is there, everything is ready. There's one medicine I still get today that I have to come back for a day or two later. That's my face. If you recall, a few years ago, my face was all red. And it's part of the aging process, generally with men, although occasionally by women, they explain to me. Anyway, how do you, you don't want to go and have an operation on your face. Don't have to win a beauty contest, but still, it's disturbing. So my doctor, my dermatologist, who happens to be a dear student of mine as well, so she comes back from this conference, and she tells me, Rebbe, there is now a solution. And she said they used to use these pills in old age homes and the people died from it. She's telling me this and I'm listening, I'm shaking. But now they figured out if you use it externally, it doesn't harm you. And believe me, it works. Nothing else worked. It works. But boy, am I shaking because there's steroids in it. And I have a dear friend, Rabbi Dr. Professor Tzvi Groner, who the steroids killed him. It gave him a few more years to teach, but it ultimately brought him down, lo aleinu. But she says, Rebbe, no, it's external, it's not internal. Anyway.
No, external goes into internal.
Yeah, the pharmacist is speaking. Gentlemen, Ellie, do you have respect for this man? Came out of the Hitler period not knowing how to read or write? And take a look, the man ran a big pharmaceutical business, which his brother and grand and his daughter continue until today, and he's just given you the same insight that I came up with. So I take it now that I clear a little bit, I take it once in 3 days. But that medicine, oh, they gotta make it for you, and don't ask what it cost. It weighs 250 shekel. And Elliot, I'm all excited, because my doctor said, Rebbe, check with your YU health insurance. It may cover medicine not covered by the Kupa. And sure enough, I check, Vic, my health insurance covers medicine not covered by... Adrian, do you understand what I'm talking about? You got to be an Israeli. And yeah, but there's a 300 shekel deductible. Follow me, Elliot. So I lose out. But, all right. Nowadays, Yitz Rubin went crazy last week. You should have seen the look on his face when I told him I'm going to deal with taking medicine on Shabbos. He was saying to me, what's the problem today? No one in the world makes their own medicine. No one in the world chops up. All right? Gentlemen, Yitz is right. But we have a different problem. Masha Gazru Gazru. This was ruled. This was a gezeira. You follow me, Scotty? We're going to come along and throw the gezeira at. Now, I have to be honest with you. Rabbi Shawais does have a very lenient approach, and there's no doubt in my mind that the Gedolei HaPoskim, certainly, if there was a chance to be lenient, would be lenient in questions like this. You all know that the halacha is that if you're nofel lemishkav, if you feel weak, you feel lackadaisical, you wanna sit in the chair Shabbos, you don't want to budge, so you can take medicine. We're mekil. So I once spoke with the Rav about this in 78. I had a nice chat with him about various shilas. And he said to me that very rarely does he ever ask taking medicine on Shabbos. Because he says, if a person asks you the shila, it shows they're not feeling well. They're on the category of nofil lemishkav. So in nofil lemishkav, you can be mekel. I can also tell you, I asked him about vitamins. And this is very important because I looked into some of the svarim downstairs, what comes out from more right-wing world, the Amayaritz Gemurim, vitamins. The Rav said, what's the shaila with vitamins? It's food. It's food supplements. I once, many years later, I spoke with the Baron Soloveitchik. It's food supplements. I take calcium pills. I take a multivitamin. Again, a lot has been written. There are many theories. I don't want to hurt Herbie Maltz's business, but there are many theories.
I don't worry.
No, but your daughter, your brothers, Zayn Gesund, his children, keep them going, keep them going. The more they have, the easier for their siblings to live in Israel. What I want is from every family in Tinek, one child coming in. Once one child comes, one child, they have 10 children, 8 children, 5 children, whatever. Grandchildren, and the cousins. Why, ultimately, one child, out of one child, you have 50 members of the family 25 years later. Kanain hara. But you ask about all these supplements. A lot has been written that it's worthless. We're just wasting our money. Billions of dollar industry. It doesn't help. Other people swear it does help. Vitamin C. You take it, you won't get colds. I don't know. It's an interesting question. But like everyone else, if it doesn't harm, why not take it? So I for years and years, decades, I've been taking a multivitamin every day. And in addition, the last 15 years, men, when they grow older, always have a calcium problem. It's more predominant among men than women, whatever the reasons are. So I've been taking 2 calcium pills. I think in Israel, the Kupat Holim import every month millions and millions of bottles, B'yot Hashem, with all the Heksherim. You don't even need a Heksher. It's a pill. You're not your heart, but we're from it today. It's a mirror. It's a fabulous world in which we live. And all the vitamins that the Kupat gives out, or you combine there, it's all with Heksherim. It's fabulous, fabulous. So that, the Rav said, is not a shayla. It's a food supplement. And yes, I spoke with Rabban Soloveitchik, and Rabban said to me, absolutely food. Then I remember asking the Rav about eye drops. And that's this question here. Can you take eye drops? And the Rav said, absolutely. Why? Not only sick people take eye drops. Healthy people take eye drops. Once it's something universal, it's no longer a medicine. Why do we take eye drops? Again, I've been taking eye drops for many, many, many years. It's psychological. It gives you a fresh feeling. You know, excuse me, what are you saying?
It is not psychological. You have glaucoma or something.
I'm not talking when you take it from...
I have to take it.
No, I understand. But I'm talking where a healthy person wants to take eye drops, it gives him that fresh feeling in your eyes. There was Uptril, I remember in Israel. For decades I've been taking that. Now I have something else they give you, whatever. It's psychological, I don't know, medical or medicine. It's not what the... What you're talking about is that there is no question. Someone who has an illness, then... What? Shabbos Gehilchatar has all the rules how to do it. But I'm talking a perfectly healthy person. So the Rav said, no, this is not a medicine. It's something healthy people take, not a shayla. Now this is the very shayla. What's the shayla? He's writing, it's interesting who he's writing to. The shayla is from 2001. He's writing to someone, Malatu Kvodo Harav Reb Shalom Shapiro Shlita Mem Reish, B'Yeshivat HaKadosha Tells. This is someone from Tells, from Cleveland. What does Mem Reish mean? All I can come up with is Mora V'Rav. Does that make sense? Mem Reish, Morenu Rabbeinu, B'Yeshivat HaKadosha, Mora V'Rav, anyway, it's someone on the faculty of Tells. And here, very interesting question. This person is told to take pills for cholesterol. His cholesterol is high. Now, what do we mean your cholesterol is high? All of you know, this is preventive medicine. In the state of Israel, the cholesterol pills, I think when you turn 65, your doctor's computer automatically lights up, perhaps this person needs cholesterol pills. I'm told that those pills are also helpful with many other aspects of your existence, so that it's worth to the kupah to encourage you, if they see the slightest need, to take these cholesterol pills, because it helps your general state of health. Fine, I think all statin pills, am I pronouncing it right?
Statin,
it's pronounced S-T-A-T-I-N, if I have it right. And what does it mean, cholesterol? What's wrong with cholesterol? By the way, you should know with everything, there's a machlekes hapoiskim, doctors differ too. Some people say you have to have cholesterol. It's good for you. But there's another problem. It's blockage. It creates heart problems. It could lead to heart attacks. And therefore, important to control cholesterol. Now, cholesterol pills are ongoing 365 days a year. So this person entails... turns to Rav Menashe Klein and he asks him, what do I do on Yontif Sheni? And what does that mean? He says to him as follows, Every day I take a cholesterol pill. Take it before Shabbos. Instead of taking it at night like I usually do, I take it Cliff mentioned time. Motzai Shabbos, I take another pill. I don't have a problem. In Chutz Laretz, Yantif is 2 days. We would have the Shaila on Rosh Hashanah. Although I have to tell you, with Rosh Hashanah, it's not exactly like 2 days Yantif. In Israel, you can be more Mekil than 2 days Yantif in Chutz Laretz. Can anyone tell me why? Because it's a whole Machleket Rishonim, whether there ever was a second day Rosh Hashanah here after Churban HaBayit. There's a lot of research has been done, and there's a whole group of major Rishonim that there never was a second day Rosh Hashanah. The whole Safek of the Beit HaMikdash disappeared. Sveik Diyoma doesn't exist in Israel. So therefore, every great Pesach understands a Shaila and Yantav Sheni and Chutz Laretz is on one level. In Chicago, in Teaneck, it's one level. But a Shaila on second day Rosh Hashanah is a little bit more Mekil. I once had a Paskin right here in this building. A Rebbetzin didn't feel well on second day Rosh Hashanah. And her husband was a big Talmud Chacham in Tanakh, in Mefarshei HaMikra, but when it came to Halacha, he deferred to others. I told him, second day Rosh Hashanah is already Nofil the Mishkav. She doesn't feel well, she wants sitting. No Shaila whatsoever. And I told him, looking to Rabbeinu Ephraim, looking to the research, many Rishonim, that there wasn't a second day Rosh Hashanah here. But this guy comes up with a Shaila. Second day Yontif, can he take the pill? Because then there's no Eitzah to take it before Yontif, because it's first day Yontif. Mimanevshach, untvidahar, either or. It's Yontif or it's not Yontif. It's Yontif. Second day, I can't play games. And this is what he asked. And very fascinating. Now, why do we take cholesterol pills? He says further, I feel healthy. I don't feel ill. And this, anyone here who studied medicine, and we have our pharmacist here, this is the greatest problem in the world. Because you have high blood pressure. What is it called? No, Isaac, did you go to medical school? The silent killer. Got it? The silent killer. High blood pressure. I have high blood pressure. I know I have high blood pressure. I know I would have. My parents both had it. All four of my grandparents had it. I've been taking medicine for high blood pressure maybe 35, 40 years already. I remember Dr. Guild first prescribed it on Zichrono Levracha, David Guild, Australian Olem, my original doctor in Israel, Rehov Chernachovsky. You remember him? Very few people remember him today. Died young, David Guild. So, but you never know. What do you mean you have high blood pressure? What am I? You're worried about a heart? I feel great. I feel wonderful. And you feel perfectly healthy. Can you take this medicine? And he begins the tshuva. I'll give you very fascinating sources. Look in to Hilchot Shabbat, Siman Kshin Chaf Chet. And you'll see Sif Katan Lamed Zayin. I'm quoting from the Shulchan Aruch Hu. Kol ochlimu mashkim shehim machal briyim mutali achlan v'lishtotan af al pi shehim kashim leksat briyim umuchemet milta d'lerfua avid afilu hachisharim. This is very simple. Any food that is normal people eat it. Sometimes it's not the sweetest, it's not the best tasting, but people eat it. Any sick person is allowed to eat it, even if he's eating it for refuah. It's normal food. give you an example. Someone has shilshul. So what did my Talmidim tell me many decades ago? When you have a loose stomach, brat, banana, rice, apple, tea. Brat. B-R-A-T. Banana, rice, apple, tea. Taught to me by a very famous doctor who lives in Teaneck, who was my dear student in BMT, Dr. Phil Oshragai Kaslow. Recognize the name? Baruch Hashem. Eli is saying, Edut Nemana, that a member of the Columbia Presbyterian staff for many decades already is a Talmud of the Rebbe. Absolutely. And he taught me brat. So you see, there's no shaila. If you're ill and you're eating this, normally speaking, how many of us eat bananas? By the way, for men, you're supposed to eat a banana a day. I have no idea why it's so calcium. Healthy. Calcium, but my brother...
Potassium.
Fine, Baruch Hashem. A banana a day. Rice, I never eat. I'm not a Moroccan. Ribbono shel Olam, I didn't grow up with rice. My children, my daughter, my son-in-law showed me a big sabi. You want rice? Big bowl of rice. Shabbos, bazeis, a faganig, and a covered Shabbos, an onik Shabbos. Who eats rice? But you have a loose stomach, rice, two drinks tea. Coca-Cola makes a fortune off me. Ribbono shel Olam. What about the opposite? That it's a healthy person eating something that may be the refuah. It's not that he needs a refuah, but it's something that may be the refuah. And here it's very fascinating. Look into the Magen Avraham, Sif Katan Mem Gimel, and the Magen Avraham says, Mashma. The im osa la refua asua af al pi shehu baria. Home machloket. This is the Magen Avraham, that even a healthy person, if you're swallowing a pill, you're not allowed. In order to take a pill, you have to be nofel the mishkav, you have to be sick. But someone totally healthy, and for the sake of argument, if you would take an aspirin, some people have a baby aspirin every day, 81 megagrams. I think if you're over 55, again a male, you're supposed to do it. According to the Magen Avraham, you would not be allowed. But if you turn to the Beit Yosef, and I'm quoting now from the Beit Yosef in the edited edition, which we have in Israel, Siman Shin Chaf Chet, and I'm quoting subdivision Lamed Zayin, and he pashkins la'alacha, Kol sheino cholek klal, muta lo lechol v'lishtot ochlinu mashkim sheino machal b'riyim, kiven sheino cholek, Leka lemigza midei. Hilkach afilu ein arav velot samei mukar lechlon uleshatan. Wow. The Beit Yosef, totally lenient. The whole problem that you're going to ground up powder to make medicine is only if you're ill. God forbid a person is ill. All right, you're taking medicine, and maybe if I ground this powder, you're going to call the doctor, you're going to call the pharmacist. What can I put together to give me energy? Ground this, take that, like a recipe. Ah, that's only if you're ill. But if you're healthy, you're not going to go crazy. So you have this pill, you have that pill, it's there, it's ready. Allowed to eat. No gezeira. Of samamin, of knocking together ingredients. So you see, Reb Menashe Klein says, first of all, you claim you're healthy, you claim you feel great, but the doctor has told you, you must take this pill keep the cholesterol down? So it could be it's a machlokes apaiskim. A healthy person, according to the Magen Avraham, you're not allowed. It's medicine. Once you get involved with medicine, we have a gezeira the Rabbanon, you may grind the material, you may get involved with other pills, not allowed. The Beit Yosef, he's psychologically 100% correct. You're healthy. No, a healthy person takes a pill, a shmil, so what? It's not illness. There's a big difference. Halavai, all the pills we take, we should take, Elliot. Healthy people taking pills, not sick people. All right, fine. But then he goes further and he says, wait a minute. Who says you're healthy? And here he shows his medical knowledge. When we have high cholesterol, it can lead to heart trouble. You will never feel it. You're going to feel healthy. But in reality, you're a chole. And you're not just a chole. This is chole sheyesh bo sakana. This is why I have to give the Israeli system credit. My doctor, one time, I remember his computer lit up. Are you prescribing this medicine for him? Everyone over 65, everyone over 55, the daily regimen. And I want to tell you, it's not perfect. I've had problems with the aspirin where I had internal bleeding because of the aspirin, and they were worried there's more. I had to do a whole difficult test afterwards.
You have to go to the doctor again. You don't have to take it anymore.
No. The doctor test came in negative, and he said to me, no, you can continue, not a problem. But it's not that these are perfect. Reb Menashe Klein says it. It goes according to the majority. Doctors argue about cholesterol. He says, I know. There are doctors who say it's not that important to take the pill. It doesn't really help. It may create side problems. The majority say, take it. And with medical shilas, we follow the majority. Vic, tie this in with contemporary times that we are biting our lips not to talk against Gedolei Yisrael. Vaccines. Vaccination. What's gone on in Lakewood? What went on in Brooklyn? Could you, great Rabbanim came out against vaccinations because they quoted three or four instances where kids had problems with vaccination. Absolutely correct. On the other hand, 1 million people have longer, healthier lives because they're vaccinated. You understand? You got to follow the majority. This is Acharei Rabin Lahatot. It's not even a Shaila. How come great rabbis? And you know what went on in Lakewood? It's unbelievable. Satmar, New York, they closed down the schools. You had to get vaccinated. For the first time ever, one of the Satmar Rabbeim, there are two today, issued a psak in English. It was published, you know what I'm talking about, it's a few months ago, a year ago. A psak, not in Hebrew, not in Yiddish, but in English, that every child must be vaccinated. And here, Reb Menashe Klein, right on, that you say you feel fine, but cholesterol is something that you never will feel sick. You will never feel it. It high blood pressure, the silent killer. You're absolutely permitted to take the medicine.
Do you see how anyone in their right mind could turn that into a halakhic issue to not be vaccinated?
You saw what happened. I don't want to mention names, but a great Gadol b'Yisrael came out. You don't have to be vaccinated.
What was his halakhic position?
Occasionally a kid suffers as a result, but the majority, I don't understand it. He didn't publish, so I can't evaluate what he
published. Occasionally a kid crosses the street and gets hit by a car.
I understand. No, I understand. I'm with you. But the world was shaking. His wife got involved. She spoke. What went on?
And how do you turn it into a halakhic position?
Well, no. It's a halakhic position. You ask a shrata, do I have to vaccinate my child? So I would answer, absolutely. Medical science shows it's very beneficial.
But that's the law. That's the law of the land.
No, it's not the law in New York. It was never required until recently. It's not the law in New Jersey either.
The law in a lot of places.
Could be, but not
in New York. Certainly in Pennsylvania.
Could be, but not in New York and not in New Jersey. That I can tell you.
Years ago,
and now they changed it, though.
Years ago, I was teaching. There was a whole machlokas also among the Amish.
Right.
Because I used to teach social studies, whatever. And they came out with, you know, again, they were sort of were against it. But because some of the, I think it was polio, I think.
Right, the polio vaccine.
Way back in
The 50s.
I was teaching.
Right, the 80s.
And it came out at that particular time. And they said that the children have to have it.
Right. No, it's Pikuach Nefesh, God have mercy.
The elders of the Amish church came out with the idea. Okay. I remember the picture in the newspaper, New York Times.
All right, so this issue with Brooklyn, they required it, the Satmaruv, that they wouldn't let kids come to school who weren't vaccinated. And I hope in New Jersey, it's basically Lakewood where the issue was raised. I hope it was settled the same way. But his words here, he is so insightful, and he describes the cholesterol test. Modedim bebedika tadam v'kol sheyesh lo yoteh gavoa mehamispar hanomali habele yotami michushtam shememele yavoa. This is not slightly ill. When you don't feel, I didn't feel that perfect over Shabbat. I didn't feel that perfect this morning. Well, I have to admit, teaching a little Torah, I feel great at this moment in time. Halavei, halavai vaita, v'kein hala. But he's right. He's absolutely right. He says, it's not just a michush. This is serious. This is sakana. Lefi anibet daiti tzadich lishmo al rofe. Tahagam sheinu magish klum. Mikol makom. Hashinui v'havayatol yatzmo begufu b'damim. Hu yotem b'michush. Kein nirel lefi anibet. He's mamish right on. And he tells him, I know you're going to tell me that some doctors put down the need for the cholesterol pills, but Bekahai Gavna Azlinin Batarov Harofim Imlo She Yitbare Mikulam Sheinenu Sheinu Mazek. And he says, unless there'll be a majority opinion that high cholesterol doesn't harm you, you must take those pills. You can take them on Yontif, and there's no problem with the gezeira of sikakat samamanim. And this is the first question, and fascinating question. Halacha lemaisa, I think you know that rov poskim, when you have to take 10 days of antibiotics or 14 days of antibiotics or anything that goes in sequence, almost all poskim amata, that if you have to take it on Shabbos, you can take it on Shabbos, you can take it on Yontif, etc. Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are big exceptions. Obviously, I should say Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av is not on the same level. And there we struggle. There's one pill I do take on Yom Kippur, and I swallow it without water. I'm able to swallow it. But the trick is to take right before and right afterwards, and to deal with the doctor who is shomer mitzvah. I'll tell you why that's so important, the doctor shomer mitzvah. And this I've seen all my life. If someone is not shomer mitzvah, they don't have the same attitude, reverence, understanding of halacha. I remember when I was in the rabbinates, I had a number of times shilas with women in mikveh. These are very, I can't go into details now, but it's very difficult shilas. What if a woman, a question of conception, And she, and if you count the Shivanikiyam, and you, the man reaches her after the time that she can be conceived. And so a doctor writes to me, a rabbi would authorize this woman to go to mikveh the day after her menstruation ends. All right, this is not the, he writes, you know, waves it away. All right, we didn't find an easy solution. I called Rav Moshe, dealt with Rav Moshe. I don't recall, ultimately this lady was an early graduate of Stern College, and she died young. And I remember her husband, these were very good people, Balei Tshuva, from an area who saw Yiddishkeit then. And he remarried later. And he contacted once when we visited Israel, wanted us to come to his Sheva Brachas, but there was total separate seating, and I got to deal with my wife. I can't desert her in a strange crowd, so it was... it didn't work out for us. Nishbakvem, to use Mama Lashon. But these are difficult shilas. If you
your
did,
part or her part?
What?
You say Nishbakvem, I said, on your part or her part?
Let me tell you something, what Rabbi Przanski taught me. Quote, my dear Talmud, you know Rabbi Przanski? He taught his Rebbe, I'm quoting him now. If your wife is not happy, you're not happy.
Exactly.
If your wife is happy, you're happy. Exactly. So nishbakvem for both of us. I have a Talmud here who ran away to Breslov, where he wound up in the Baal Shem Tov's grave, and he leaves his wife home. But she gave him permission. She was happy. He was happy. Baruch Hashem. Believe me, Rav Ovadia Yosef wouldn't let him go. Rav Ovadia was furious with the men who left their wives and ran away. But all right, Baruch Hashem. It's like a member, a man who was a Supreme Court judge, said to me yesterday, Fam Mintra, we were talking, this is that whole conversation. He said, there's always machlaikis. I said, look, on a dindi oraita, there's no machlaikis. On a din d'rabbanan, this is the beauty of the halachic process, the beauty of Shas and Paiskim. We all think differently, Baruch Hashem. But Klal Yisrael, no, it's not Al Yakim. It's Yitzchak Englad, Sasha Englad, who is he's a shtickle of Talmud Chacham. Al Yakim may be a bigger Talmud Chacham.
They're
upgehitni, they're wonderful, good Jews. I said, Baruch Hashem, this is the beauty. You saw today a little jerk named Rakefet took on Reb Moshe. And believe me, I have solid ground. But Reb Moshe is Reb Moshe. But then when you view it in the Ediyot, all right, he was Machmir. Dov, what percentage of frum Jews listen to Reb Moshe and that Chumrah? What percentage listen to him in his Kulat with Mamzeru? You follow me? All right. To reiterate, like, give me a chance to reiterate. All right, what do we do today? All right, we have a wonderful student here who's at Tzadik Yisod Olam. We have no idea what this man is involved with identifying soldiers who were killed in the first war, got off the boat. Remember what I'm talking about. Got off the boat, refugees, immediately survived Hitler, immediately went to the front lines. They're identifying bodies today. They're identifying family, what they can do with the help of science. And Tzidkut, this is Gemilat Chesed Shel Emet. So Baruch Hashem. So what do we deal today? We finished out the time clock, we finished out the noise on Shabbos, we finished out the dishwashers, and we touched upon one medical problem, healthy people taking pills. But this doesn't compare to next week. Next week, oh boy, a very simple question. You have to do a medical procedure on Shabbos. We have two doctors standing in front of us. One is my brother, the Tzadik Yisod Olam. All right. He, by the way, this couldn't happen because he can only do eyes. My brother always says, only eyes ask me about. But Baruch Hashem. And another doctor, Machal Shabbos, Boil, Bilata Surat, etc., etc., etc. Who should do the procedure on Shabbos? Scotty? And how does this affect? Have you been in
who's
the army?
Better at it.
They're equal. They're equal. That's a given. Scotty, have you done army yet?
No.
How do you sleep at night? Milchemet mitzvah. All right. When you do army, you're going to have the same shiloh. Wait till next week. My dear students, I wouldn't miss tomorrow's shiur for all the Lashon Hara being spread about Trump by the New York Times, the Democrats, the liberals, etc., etc. Tomorrow we come back to Rabbi Rachman again, drop new material, and then we go on to Rabbi David Halinda. And Baruch Hashem, Yesh Maladabea. Elliot, I came up with a volume called Modern Medicine and Jewish Law by Fred Rosner. Not, you're not related to that branch of the Rosner family. But I want to show you, this volume was rare. You have no idea why you started putting out volumes. Do you know how many books have been written today on medicine, refuah, Shabbos, halacha? And this may be one of the most early volumes. I think only Rabbi Jacobowitz's volume on medical ethics comes before this. And he deals with the problems, artificial insemination, abortion, contraception. It's fascinating dealing with these problems that until today another million pages have come out.
Shalom Rosner is his son, right?
Right, right. Shalom Rosner is his son or grandson?
Son.
Son. Wow, because he's older than I am. Okay. Do me a favor, Michael. Give this to Yitz. And Ellie, this is for you. Again, can we believe this? Is it true? This is a story of this lady who's, they're Russians, the husband becomes from, the wife doesn't want to have anything to do with it, and she meets this lady. This lady that she meets is, it tells her would go to the cemetery, and make a long story short, she goes to the cemetery with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbetzin, and she gets a bracha, two are better than one, and this lady who couldn't have children has two children, becomes from, I don't know, they publish stories, as a Litvak, I question it, but as a Chassid, see if there's any way to check that out. This Ellie sent me, very fascinating. It's published, I think this is, which publication is this, Ellie? It's one of the Haredi magazines in English, and evidently they were criticized for the stories they tell about Gedolei Yisrael, and they don't tell the whole truth. And here they, oh, Yateg Neman. We set our standards high, and we try to be absolutely truthful. But at times it's true we leave out information. This is true, but the reason is that on our Torah-based scale of values, the harm or embarrassment that can be caused to someone rates much higher than the need of historical accuracy. So I want to tell you something. I want to leave you with a shaila now. They're beautiful, what you sent me. I want to leave you with a shaila. I'm reading this biography on the Brisker Rav, Chelek Bet. I already read Chelek Aleph. My dear student, I have a student, Rabbi Reuven Unger. He passes me on books to read. Fine. It's from Shalavim. Wonderful. Top quality individual, Kanain Harahi and Leah, they should be zeicher to great things, even greater than what they have. And there's a story in there with the, here's what they tell the story about, Reb Chaim spoke at this precursor to the founding of Agoda. He said in Europe there was this store and this lady came in and she asked how much are the tomatoes? 3 shlata. How much are the peppers? 3 shlata. 3 shlata. So she says to the guy, well, what's this kid telling me? Everything's the same price. So he says, yeah, this kid has a speech problem. All he can say are 3 shlatas. But pick out what you want, and I'll tell you the real price. And Reb Chaim said, all I can say is three shlattas, I can only talk Divrei Torah, nothing else. They tell that story in the book. Now the real story, which I heard with these ears from the Rav, Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, grandchildren of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. The real story. They're talking in 1912, they're going to organize Agudat Yisrael to combine all Orthodox Jews. They're holding a precursor convention, a meeting, call it what you want. All the Gedolim they try to bring together, and Reb Chaim Brisker comes. And at this convention, call it, a Yekeshe Rav gets up and he speaks for 35 minutes. And Reb Chaim is furious. And he says, I want to tell you a story. And this woman comes in, and three shlata. And then he says, I just heard a 35-minute talk from a so-called rabbi from Germany who's going to be one of the leaders of Agudat Yisrael. 35 minutes, and he didn't quote one Maima Chazal. I can't be part of such an organization. I can only talk about three shlattas, ich kenna reden teira. And if emitze can reden a halb shah, or nicht unsettling a Maima Chazal, das ist nicht von mir. And he walked out. Now, I asked you, Ellie, who's telling the truth? Am I embarrassing? This is historic. This is crucially important. Without this, you can't understand how Reb Moshe, his son, was so opposed to Agudat Yisrael. The Velvel was opposed, each one for different reasons. But Reb Chaim, Agudat Yisrael, and you read the story in the book, Nishkeshtegen, Nishkeflegen. Can you translate that for me? What do you say, Elliot? Nishkeshtegen, Nishkeflegen. I can't translate
it.
It doesn't make sense.
You have to understand.
You have to understand Yiddish, that's all.
It's difficult to translate.
Okay. So I want you to know that the issue, I'm not certain they're right. They're double-talking us. Yeah, you don't have to tell a story. I'm telling you, ask Effie, I'm dealing with him with a different problem, how I wrote out how to avoid a problem, all right? But I'm not leaving anything out. But I'm saying it in a nice way, a positive way. There's a way, but without telling them, what's the story? There's no beginning, no ending. Boy, oh boy, that guy's on my bad list. That's number one. Number two, he quotes the Rav and the author doesn't exist. Man, give the person credit. Forget it. It's okay, don't get upset. Scotty, I'm not upset, I'm laughing. Gentlemen, this is from the Oman of Makor Rishon last week. I gotta tell you, this article, everyone should read. This lady is the Israeli ambassador to Russia. And she is Haredit. Not a gokumina, born into a Haredi house. And her husband and two, she's in the foreign ministry. She has to be very, very capable. You read about her. And what an article. This article, it's the whole world in which we live, in which I've lived for 51 years. Tremendous insight. The Russians now. I don't know, maybe her parents are of Russian origins, because she evidently knew Russian, well, she claims she had to learn it very quickly, which means, you know, it's like you hear a language in your youth, but ultimately it's not your language. And this lady, her insight, religious Zionist, Anglo-Haredim, regular Haredim, Israel, Russia, what an article. Highly recommended. I can also tell you in this Friday's Yediot was a major investigative reporting article on Putin. And my wife read it. We read it. Well, I can't bring it in because the pictures are not nice. It's about his sex life. And I got to tell you, I always knew he was married, had two children, a very fine wife, and I know they got divorced. Well, he, you see, Putin, nicht anderes from JFK, from Clinton, except from what I gather, it's one Pilegesh, not many. And you read about his Pilegesh, three children with her, two children with his wife, three with her. And in Russia, he can get away with it because it's not like England or America where all the gossip in Russia, if you gossip about the president, you wind up in Siberia. If you gossiped about Stalin, they executed you on the spot. Today, they're kinder. They just put you in Siberia for 10 years. So no one is gossiping. But it's unbelievable. A Pilegesh, this Dwayla Feinger, she's very unique, very successful. And she was a member of the Politburo, and she's the one who introduced the laws that they will not permit homosexuality, same-sex marriages in Russia. So, wow, I'm all confused. On one hand, Zaya Shane. On the other hand, where are your standards? Where does this fit in with the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach? Very fascinating article. I wonder how it's going to play in Russia. That's all I can say. If I was the editor of Yediot, I'd be sure to see that my life insurance is paid up. This is an article. Now, what this gentleman is doing and the identifying, bringing together family of people that fell, two people who got off the boat and one was killed right away, nothing left, and his friend goes on, and now many, many years later, this organization brought them together. Your picture's also in here, I see. Very, very nice. Ah, it's very, very moving. And this article is from Makar Rishon. Tiskele Mitzvot. God, here's this, all right. Steve Glazer, you deserve a lot of credit. If anyone's interested, I picked this up, Kaliach Yad, and I was overwhelmed. This is from the Yeshiva University Center for the Jewish Future. This was put together about 11 years ago. How to search for a new rabbi. And the questions, the committee, the formation. What's amazing about this, Ashrenu Shezachinu, when I was Gatzmicha 61, the first question they asked you in community service, which is the precursor of Center for the Jewish Future, the first question was, will you take shtela mixed seating? Will you take separate seating, or do you insist upon a machitza? Today, 60 years later, the question that they asked the shul is, do you have a balcony? Do the men and women sit, men in front, mechitza, women in back? Or do you sit men, mechitza, women, side by side? Or do you sit women, mechitza, men, mechitza, women? I couldn't believe my eyes. Ah, my dear students, we have to be very proud. Why use basketball team cracks NCAA's top 25 ranking for the first time? Coach Elliot Steinmetz, I wonder if he's not from the Steinmetz family. I taught part of it. It's a great family. The grandfather, Zeichel Tzadik Sal Steinmetz, was a Shem Dovra Hungarian refugee who became the greatest English and the expert on the English language in the world. Look into Webster International, any dictionary. The Thor, they thank Rabbi, was a musmach of yeshiva, maybe his grandson. And the YU basketball team has an 18-1 record. Halavayach the Yankees gesagt. Wow, wow. And this is interesting. In America now, they took off on Sarugim, and there's now a whole Soon by You sitcom about Orthodox dating scene. Wow. Do we mean we have tragedy here and tragedy there? Believe me, I can't watch Sarugim. I suffer. It was filmed on my block, on Jack's block. They blocked it off, the eatery there, across the street from the Stibbles. My block, going up the hill to go into the Bustan, to walk to Palmach. I can't watch it. I can watch about the Hasidic world. I love it. The Litvish Welt, I love it, because I'm not suffering. But when I watch about the Sarugim world, that's my blood and flesh. I'm suffering. Bloomberg's message of moderation draws centrist Jews. Bloomberg has a chance of getting the nomination. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I understand. What they have are morons. One of the a woman just came out, one of their candidates, that English should be abolished as the language of the United States. God, what we have. Dr. Chaim Weizmann and the Torah that he presented to Truman, President Truman. And that Torah is now on display. It was in the Truman Library, but they're rebuilding it. So for a few months, they loaned it out. And wow, you got to read the whole story. It's Philadelphia with the family. Finally, I got to show you something amazing. Haredi sentenced to 2 years in French jail for smuggling cot, sent by Kiryat Sefer cot operator. You can't argue with an open Gemara. The Gemara in Kedushin says if you don't give your child a general education, he will be a gangster. He will rob and steal. There's a whole industry coming out of B'nai Brak of sending drugs all over the world. They get innocent yeshiva boys and even girls, women, not innocent, idiots. Yes. Give them a fortune to carry. Remember what happened in Japan? You know how much goodwill we had to lose. I would have executed them when we got them out. Oh, they got back here, went to jail, and then got out. God have mercy. Anyway, I'll tell you what's worse here. They know the person in Kiryat Sefer who's getting these kids to deliver 40 kilo of cot. And these kids are in jail. They're now in Europe in jail, sitting, kosher food, who heard of it, etc., etc. You know what the worst part is? They know the operator and they can't do anything about it because there's in Israel, cot is legal. And there's no law that if you send kids to Europe to go to jail, you did nothing wrong. It's legal here. This is chelm. The Knesset should meet today and pass the law in one quick sitting that anyone sending kids to do crimes in Europe can be arrested and thrown into jail with the keys thrown away at Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mcheira B'yomeinu Ad Va'ad B'klau. My dear students, thank you very much for honoring me with your presence, and we meet again tomorrow morning, 9:05. Rak Briyut. Health, Besora Tovat, Das Vidanya. Okay. Jack, any questions? All right, we rolled today. We rolled. Okay.
The articles about the girl that they got out of Russia, Nama.
Yeshacha.
In the right place at the right time to be saved. There's all these other Israelis that are sitting and rotting in Israel.
Rotting away. And
the Israeli government is doing absolutely nothing about it.
Well,
she was just in the right place at the right time.
No, but she wasn't. She's an idiot. But she was carrying a little drugs for self-use.
Yeah, the question whether she knew or didn't know what she was doing.
No, she knew what she was doing. Absolutely. David who? Is David Zimmer? No, I don't know. Who? I know.